Good afternoon, and welcome to the St. Pete Sports Connection right here on RadioSt.Pete.com, Sunshine 96.7 on this March 13th, 2021. What a spectacular day in downtown St. Pete. We're here each and every Saturday from 12:15 to 2 o'clock. And, of course, Ferg's, world-famous Ferg's, right here in the heart of the Tampa Bay Rays, right across the street from Tropicana Field. Of course, they're still celebrating the 55th Super Bowl championship as the Vince Lombardi Trophy is over in Tampa. And with the moves they made this week, they're going to make another run for the 56th Super Bowl championship. And very, very impressed with the moves they made. And why wouldn't these guys want to sign? They want to stay with the team that's got this nucleus. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We got a jam-packed show. Of course, it's the weekend before St. Patty's Day. And St. Patty's Day falls on a Wednesday. So all the celebrations across the country, basically, will be this Saturday night. And we're going to do that in this show. We're going to have a little St. Patty's theme, have a little bit of fun during the show. We've also got a very special guest. We'll talk about her in just a minute as I get through the intro. And Budweiser is down here today. Papa Shot, it's a promotion at 3 o'clock. So come on down to Ferg's. Of course, you've got all the March Madness down here, 85 televisions to watch your favorite team and follow your favorite team. Got all the conference championships today. You got a couple tomorrow, and then tomorrow late is Selection Sunday, which is an absolute blast if you're a basketball junkie like I am. And then the pools will come out, and even the people that aren't basketball fans will have something of interest. Well, a year ago, we remember what took place, and that was the start of an incredible challenge for America. So I want people to appreciate what they have sometimes when you get down, but you look at where we are today compared to where we were. And I know exactly where I was. I was up at Spectrum Field. It was the Phillies against the Orioles, working with the Ted Williams Foundation, which I still do. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. And we got the call. The game was just winding down, and Dave McCarthy, executive director, looked over me and said, "We're done, man. Baseball is done." And it was it was a shock. Every sport followed suit. And then, of course, March Madness was canceled, and you knew it was the real deal. And God bless America that we fought through it, or the entire world fought through it. And, there's a long ways to go. However, just keep that in mind anytime you're getting down where we were. When you're walking through a Publix, toilet paper's gone, they had arrows. I mean, our entire lives were being run by this pandemic. So just have a positive St. Patty's Day weekend and enjoy the life that we've been given. As I mentioned, college basketball will be the theme today and tomorrow. And then next Thursday, it's on. And 64 teams, they all get together in Indianapolis, and I'm looking forward to one of my favorite times of the year. Let's talk a little on the tee. The Players' Championship's over at the stadium course in Ponte Verde. And I tell you what, even if you're not a golf fan, turn it on today and watch a little bit, because the number 17 hole is the greatest hole in golf as far as I'm concerned. Because I tell you what I love is to see pros look like hacks like I am. And number 17 on Thursday, 18 pros went into the drink. And it's a par 3. Four guys, these are PGA professionals, had eights or higher. So it's kind of fun to watch as a hack, but it's a great tournament. Right now on top of the leaderboard, and I love this, even though he's a Brit, I like to see those red, white, and blue flags, and they have the same colors. However, Lee Westwood, 49 years young, is on top of the leaderboard over there. And Sergio Garcia, I used to call him Sergio Gurlio Garcia because he's such a whiner. But I like him now because he's 43 and he's still battling. And he's 7-under. Lee Westwood, who got second at the Arnold Palmer Championship last week in a superb job, Lee Westwood is back. So that's something to watch a little bit later on. That's on NBC today if you're channel surfing in between your NCAA games. As I mentioned, we've got an event here. It's Budweiser Pop the Top. And the only thing I know about popping the top is pop it and drink it. So we'll try to grab Ferg. He's wandering around here somewhere and get a little bit more, or we'll have one of the Budweiser people come on board. As I mentioned, we will be talking a little St. Patty's later on. We're going to do a tribute to Pepe Le Pew. God rest his soul. I think Don Juan's next in line to be canceled, and we'll have a little fun with that. Hey, Rays spring training games, Twins at Rays today. Tomorrow, the Braves and Rays, and, of course, that's of interest because the Braves got Charlie Morton, and I thought that was definitely not the right thing to do. Lightning are in second place in their division right now, and great news on the Bucks front. Chris Godwin, he got the franchise tag. Tom Brady, he ended up signing a contract. So for 4 years, whether he plays that long, he probably can. He'll break every record known to man in the NFL. And then Barrett, three key cogs for another Super Bowl run. So great news around here as usual. Reminder to tune into Sunshine 96.7 FM. Joe Boudreaux and Jay Colton, the guys have done a superb job. It's all local music all the time. We've got a lot of exciting news coming down the pike, and we'll talk about that. And as I mentioned, I'm going to have Brandi Wynans join me here in just a few minutes, and we've got a lot to talk about. Let's do a couple of quick promos, take care of a little business, and then we'll dive into about an hour-long conversation. We could probably talk for a week. We could talk for a week in this lady's inside information on St. Pete Beach. But anyway, reminder to you, go out and enjoy an afternoon of racing at Tampa Bay Downs. RadioSt.Pete.com is the official station of Tampa Bay Downs. I went out there at the beginning of the season, and I'm not a big gambler, but I had an absolute blast. And we're just 2 months away from the Run for the Roses, the Kentucky Derby. That's a great event. I went to college right down the street, and a little eye when going to the Derby for the first time was pretty eye-opening on the passion of horse racing, especially in the great state of Kentucky. And then Bob Bauer will come on, and we'll talk horse racing before each and every one of the Triple Crown races right here on St. Pete Sports Connection. Now, dear, are you ready to do a little conversation with me? I'll just ask two questions, and you can have the mic and rock and roll. Welcome to St. Pete Sports Connection. I feel privileged reading everything about you, Brandi Wynans. Am I pronouncing it properly?
You are.
Because Barry, you know, Smith, who I love dearly, didn't give me a whole lot of information. And then I started Googling you, and I was like, I could have read about you for about an hour. Very interesting. And talk about passion and compassion and motivation. All three of those factors took place into what your life's become.
It has, and I thank you so much for having me on today and being a part of Radio St. Pete. It's funny because I've also been doing radio off and on for about 25 years and ran into Joe very well from Radio St. Pete. We've done many radio reunions together.
Well, he mentioned that there's going to be another one and that you would be participating. Now, I have to ask you a favor. Since you have, you know, a background in radio, please don't critique me today. I don't want to see my report card. We're just going to relax and have fun, and I'll let you carry the show.
I won't if you won't.
there we go. All right, so talk a little bit about, you know, Flip Side of Glory, the book that that you wrote and the journey that you went through with your husband, Jeff. And like I said on our conversation on the phone, the story of tragedy and triumph because of your resilience, and I'll let you share this story and what you've been through and what drove the content of this book.
Thanks so much. You know, we never know where life is going to take us on their journey, and you know, sometimes it's be careful what you wish for, and other times when we actually wish for something and then we're not quite sure which direction that wish is going to go. And sometimes it's a positive wish and a negative wish. But I was very blessed to be married to a man, Jeff Wynans, a former NFL player who played for Buffalo, Tampa, short stint with New Orleans, Raiders twice. And we actually met here back in the late 70s when he was playing for Tampa Bay. He was a USC boy. He had already been with McKay at USC. He was second round draft pick to the Buffalo Bills in the 73 second round draft, and was a lineman playing defensive tackle. And when he went over to the Raiders, John Madden and 76 decided to take him over to offensive guard. And so
wow.
Davis and all the boys with McKay, they always did deals. Davis and McKay did a deal and brought Jeff here to the new franchise in 77.
So he was with Madden for a short period of time. Now, there's a legendary character.
There is a legendary character, and when you look at all the characters of the Raiders, which is, I think, called the Raiders.
Yeah, you think? Well, starting at the top with the ownership.
Exactly, Mike Davis. I mean, Mike Davis, the son right now, Al Davis.
Big Al. The NFL really loved Big Al.
Yeah. Mike has taken on the reins now, but Davis was, quite the character, and also somebody who really loved his team. Probably one of the few owner GMs then, in my opinion, who actually knew the game inside and out.
Al Davis was a genius.
Yeah.
And then John McKay, and how we met, Barry Smith, when Barry left the Green Bay Packers to come home and play, and John McKay, that was the inaugural year of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Barry, an expansion. And my husband, that's how I met Barry. Barry's my brother from another mother.
He's a great guy. I know he's not listening right now, but he'll be able to archive this to make sure I spoke highly of him. But you know what he's doing right now. He's got the sticks out over at Pasadena where he lives.
Yeah, exactly.
And good for him.
Exactly.
I'm afraid to play golf with him. We're going to have you tell your funny golf story a little bit later on because I'm such a hack. But I'm sorry. I didn't mean, but I wanted to bring Barry into the conversation.
Absolutely.
Relative to the Tampa move.
The Tampa Bay Bucs at that time was a very unique team. What was interesting that I found with what McKay did with that team was the fact that the year that Jeff left USC, they had become, down the road many years later, one of the greatest college football teams of all time, because 33% of the team that year was drafted to the pros.
Those were unbelievable teams. And unfortunately, today is our St. Paddy's Day promotion. I'm Catholic, diehard Notre Dame fan, and there were some epic battles. There are still some of the greatest games in the history of collegiate football during that era.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, when Jeff came to the franchise, we had Doug Williams, we had James Wilder, we had Leroy Salmon and Dewey, I think Mike Ray, Dave Revis, Jim Obradovich, a lot of teams that were, guys that were gathered from different colleges as well, but still Ricky Bell.
Ricky Bell.
Batman,
he was a stud.
Richard Wood, a lot of USC former players came to the franchise.
Well, and expansion teams, I mean, you're not always getting, the young guys. You're building around veterans because there's Jay Kolb in the wings. You're building around people that they're going through a tough enough time from a transition perspective of launching a new franchise. So you need that veterans, and they've been there, they've done that, right?
Exactly. And that was one of the things I always loved about Davis with the Raiders, because he always liked to bring in guys who had had playing time with other teams.
Which is a recipe for success as far as cohesiveness, I'd say.
Yeah.
Even though you guys had already been beating each other's, rear ends in, that's just the reality. It's the business of it. And you are very involved in it.
Yeah, I'm thinking about Matt Millen, too. Raider. John Matuszak, a UT boy here right from Tampa.
John Matuszak was?
Yep. John was a UT boy. If you go to UT right now, you'll still see him in the gym in the area. Yeah.
Really? Well, yep. He went out and played for my Green Bay Packers for a while, too.
Yep.
And I'm sure he and Barry, we'll have to have a conversation about that with Barry. You notice that I've got the...
you've got the Florida Sports Hall of Fame.
Well represented.
Absolutely, because, the Florida Sports Hall of Fame has been around here for quite a while. And, of course, Barry was president for a few years along with the executive director, Wayne Hogan.
Well, and I'll tell you, it's a small world. Wayne Hogan and I were having a conversation the other day. He's going to come on in a couple of weeks. And I said to Barry, I do have a little bit of gray matter left. I said, I've already met this cat. 2017, in Fergs, we had a meeting, East-West Shrine Game. He goes, yeah, you got a good memory. I don't know why I still have it, but I do. And then so I called Wayne, and coming from Iowa, we had the Iowa Barnstormers, which was Kurt Warner, and that era, AFL was really solid. Well, Wayne knew the ownership, friends of mine, And he said, I think we may have met as well. I did the programs for the Iowa Barnstormers. And then he went to Montana State, or Montana, and was the athletic director. And the coach from Drake University in Des Moines was out there at that time. And so the world just got smaller and smaller as Wayne and I had conversation.
Yeah, Wayne was with Bobby Bowden in Florida State for about 35 years. And
not bad company.
Not bad company at all.
Yeah, my.
You know, and because of Wayne and Barry, recently they have, the founder, Jan Richard, came in. Jan was also part of the Florida Sports Hall of Fame. And when Barry's tenure and Wayne's tenure ended, and Jan had seen everything that they had been doing and making good impact in the state of Florida, Jan came up with an idea. You know what? What if we were to start a foundation called Florida Rising Stars and not just make it about camps on the field? What if we took it one step further? What if we took a five-star program, which we have 5 points on a star, and what if we took it to a point of teaching and bringing in high school students, some privileged, most underprivileged, underserved in the areas, and we took it to a new level of creating different types of sports careers.
Well, when in fact, broadcasting, you said as well.
Yes,
which
exactly.
I think is superb, because you broaden the platform. Not everyone can participate and be an athlete, but they have a passion for sport and they have a special talent. This is a great concept, and it's something, as I showed you there, I dove into and spoke to a lot of the high schools about choices and chance in life and how I was finally at a late age got to get involved in my passion in life.
Exactly.
I was in the computer industry for years and did real well and then lost everything, and I didn't have one ounce of passion for it with the exception of the almighty dollar, and I was a miserable man. Now you find the passion in your life. Your passion for this book goes back to your incredible love for your husband. And let's go back and talk about that, because then I want to further discuss this
exactly.
in detail.
My husband played 7 years in the pros. He actually played 18 years of football. A lot of times people forget that, how many years in the pros did you play? But what did it take to get there? It took 18 years of hard work, dealing with pain, dealing with focus, dealing with discipline, learning your teammates, learning your position. And Jeff was one of the few players, as I mentioned earlier, that was really that talented to play defensive tackle and offensive guard.
Impressive.
He had multiple injuries throughout his career, starting with Buffalo. He had torn ACLs, torn MCLs. He had back injuries, neck injuries. He had crushed ankles. He had broken toes, broken fingers, broken hands. But he loved the game. And coming from USC, he didn't start at USC. He didn't get that great big scholarship right out of high school. He went 2 years at Modesto Junior College. And the funny part was he was the only six-letter award winner at Modesto Junior College, but he was also the one that had the most parking tickets. We found that out when he got
inducted. If I would have went there, I might have rivaled him. I've just been a prolific non-parker or adherence to parking meters or signs my whole life, unfortunately.
We found that out when he got inducted into the Hall of Fame with Modesto Junior College and then the Sportsman's Club that they had in Modesto, California. He was a Turlock, Central California boy in the world of agriculture and farms. So,
well, God bless him. I'm from Iowa. Farms, corn, that's about it.
We met here, like I said, when he was playing for Tampa, and he was just an amazing offensive guard. He started the games when he was able to. He had several. And then left the game from injury. Got waived in 1970. Decided to set up and go back with the Raiders and talk in, and they brought him back on board. and he finished his career with the Raiders and right after Super Bowl 15.
You're listening to the St. Pete Sports Connection right here on RadioSt.Pete.com. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. We're going to have a little St. Patty's. But right now, very, very interesting story. The flip side, and I touched on some other people, and you are immersed in this topic of CTE.
I am because of firsthand knowledge. And when Jeff left football due to disabilities, we had no idea that there was any type of or possibility of neurocognitive, because when you go for your physicals, they don't talk. Back then, they didn't talk about the brain. It was all about your body parts. What percentage could you become disabled from a particular body part, and would it cover you for disability?
I read the interview you had with Fox, and that's just nauseating. And these were NFL-picked physicians that gave that diagnosis?
Yes.
So talk about that. That's just horrific, man.
Yeah, because when you become disabled, the NFL, when you file for disability...
Is this current, or this is current policy?
Both policies.
Okay.
Some policies are still in effect now, and I'll give you those in a minute. But back in that day, when you went for an NFL neutral physician, it was a... depression, which create financial difficulties, which create a lot of family interference. And a lot of times people don't understand what it's like when you have to transition from the game. It's like a veteran today when you're transitioning. And I was a Marine Corps brat. My dad was a career Marine, and he had a very hard time transitioning back into the real world, because you're not focused. In your career and the gift that, and so you're, you know, today with education, wonderful programs for our current and players, but back then we didn't have anything. And so the family unit literally becomes lost in transition. We didn't know what to do. We had no one to turn to. We called our player rep, basically. They told us that, well, we're going to send you over to the
psychiatrist.
Yeah.
Because they thought you had a mental issue when you actually had a physical issue with your brain.
The mental issue came because of Jeff's great depression.
Absolutely.
And not wanting to be here. And then at the same time, they turned us on to an attorney in Oakland that really wasn't qualified to do anything, we found out later. But during that time, we thought that we were getting the help that we needed. And then down the road, it turned out that nobody was helping us. Finally, we went to arbitration 3 years later. And we won in arbitration. We ended up getting...
What year would this have been?
This would have been July of 1984 is when we won arbitration with no other than the infamous Alan Page, who became
Notre Dame
attorney.
Graduate. There's another St. Patty's Day. Alan Page, Notre Dame grad.
Go ahead. Alan Page became our attorney, along with the attorney out of Oakland. When we decided to go to arbitration, we requested a second attorney, and at that time we were given Alan Page. And Alan was absolutely brilliant, knew the game inside and out, now is a superior court judge. He was with a company, a law firm, Lindquist & Venom. And he was amazing. So we really thought at that time that when we won arbitration that would be the end of our disability fight. And we soon found out that was not the case.
Who would have thought you would have had a purple people eater as your representative, and now he's on one of the highest courts in America. Great story. All right, so that was 1984. This process takes a lot longer
it
than
does.
That.
It does. I'm just going to close out very shortly here. A few
no,
months
please
later.
No, please don't. We got time.
A few months later, we were moving from one house to another, and I used to do a lot of target shooting. Our disability pension had not started at that time, and we were awaiting that disability pension to start. Moving into one house from another, I at that time had been sole support of our family, and I had to travel for the work that I did up and down the state of California with the government. And at that particular time, Jeff had taken a 357 Derringer out and had loaded it. Instead of putting it back into the case where it came from, he decided that he was going to just put it in between a pair of jeans and forget about it. And so when we were making the move, he was home by himself, and he grabbed the jeans out of the closet, got down into the foyer, and the gun fell and discharged. He didn't know what hit him, but it was an armor-piercing bullet.
Holy hell, when I read that portion of it, I thought, this poor man. I mean, and it at first, when you just see he got a gun out, you start wondering if the depression had kicked in. I don't mean to bring that
right,
up, but
exactly.
That's the first thing that dawned on my mind, because we know how many we've lost to taking their own lives. And that's what I'm glad to hear that was the case.
So that was not the case at that time. And I got over to the house because I forgot to clean the refrigerator out, and they had already taken him by ambulance. When the bullet struck, it struck just below the right knee, but unfortunately, the gunshot, the bullet was an armor piercing, and so when it hit the bone, it took the leg out.
Oh,
so
my
he literally
word.
Grabbed close and made a tourniquet. And
what a tough, that's a tough man. Holy hell.
Well, 6'6". At that time, he was about 260, and he put a tourniquet on his leg and drug himself over and called 911 because he was home by himself.
Oh, my word. That's Jeff Winans, the story of the flip side of glory. We're talking to Brandy Winans on this amazing, again, talk about talent. Let's just talk about sports. To play offensive, I would like to find, I'm going to Google search that. How many people that have made it to the NFL have played, in his era, have played on both sides of the ball? Very, very few.
Especially linemen. He was also an All-American in basketball, football, and track, and his real love was baseball, but the coaches wouldn't let him play.
What an athlete. All right, so he has this injury, and this gets worse then far as the disability.
Yes, yeah, so what happened was he ended up living in a hospital for off and on for 8 months, 3 weeks, 3 days, actually 3 days after he wasn't expected to live. I found out I was pregnant with our only son, which was the blessing. And so that took Jeff to what I feel kept him alive and wanting to live, because he had had so many different times, didn't want to be here. And that was the blessing. And our son now is 35, and I have a 4-year-old granddaughter and a beautiful daughter-in-law who's a nurse at St. Anthony's. And my son has stayed in the athletic world.
Is he down here?
He's here.
Fabulous.
Actually, he's right down the street at 2130 Central Avenue at IM Fitness. He is a performance and strength trainer, certified in just about every kind of certification.
Is he working
you can
today?
Imagine. I don't
should
think
text
he's
him,
working
come up
today.
Here and do a plug for
I should.
Yeah.
I think he's probably gone by noon today.
Oh, if I would have known that, we would have had him come do a little plug. We like to do that here.
We can always have him come down and do another
plug. Yeah, yeah. I'm here every Saturday. Yeah. I'd like to meet him.
But to make a longer story short, we ended up going back and forth with the NFL for many years. They decided that Jeff was no longer disabled from football, but was disabled from the gunshot accident. They took the pension that we hadn't gotten yet away. And it
just blew me away reading that. Unbelievable.
It took a total for me to fight 16 years to finally get his disability pension.
Now, when you got the disability pension in the first place, I think I retained this, it was $800?
Our pension was a line of duty. You have to go, and you still do that today. You have to go through a temporary line of duty. And our temporary line of duty, based on your credited seasons, was $870 a month.
What year was that? Is that 84?
Yeah.
What kind of dollars would that to equate today? About double? It's going to be $1,600? That's chump change for what you've put through and the revenue that Pete Rozelle and the boys were generating. That's horrible, man.
It is. It is. And that's one of the things that people have a big misconception about football players. I mean, Jeff started off making $25,000 a year with Buffalo.
Oh, yeah.
I
understand.
Big bucks back then.
There we go. See, they got some St. Paddy's green on. There we go. How much? 20 what?
25,000.
Second-round draft pick.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, second-round draft pick to Buffalo Bills, $25,000 was the starting salary.
To get your hell beat out of you.
Well, when Jeff left in 81, Peyton was the highest-paid player at $750,000. He and Matuz Tuzak were right around $100,000 a year, right around $100,000 a year. So it wasn't until the USFL came in and started deciding that they were going to start big bonuses, big signing bonuses with the players, that the NFL really had to start anteing up.
Well, a lot of people couldn't stand Donald Trump, and I'll tell you what, the NFL players across the board should go back and do a little history and appreciate him for that move, don't you think?
Exactly.
That USFL. I lived in Denver then. I had Bronco tickets, but I also went and got, I think they're the Denver Gold. Yeah, the Denver Gold. And there's a few who's who of the NFL, you know, Steve Young went there.
I mean,
Herschel Walker.
Yep.
Yeah, that I forgot. That changed the landscape, didn't it?
It changed everything. And then what do? We ended up with the Tampa Bay Bandits here. Remember?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yep. We had Burt Reynolds and some big investors come in with the USFL, and we had our own. I still have my T-shirt, my little cut-off little T-shirt, the Tampa Bay Bandits.
Well, last week I had two former cheerleaders from 1976 on, and they were talking about Burt Reynolds and Dinah Shore. They had an appearance there. We had some real fun with that 76 team. So your husband would have been on that team.
He came in 77, so he.
Well, they were cheerleaders then too.
Yep.
Yeah, he would have known.
He was with them when we won our first game.
Okay. Have you met Mark Ferguson?
Oh yeah, I know.
Okay.
Ferg.
So Ferguson not told you his claim to fame. That first win, he and his buddies were down there. He jumped the fence and ran on the field. And here, it was the Tampa Bay Times then? Or
Tampa Bay Tribune.
Tribune. There's Ferg's picture he's got in his office. He's got all these this great memorabilia. That's one of his favorites because he was at that game and he bum-rushed the field.
So I'm going to tell you a funny story about that game. And Leroy and Jeff have long passed. Jeff has been 8 years since he passed. Lee was right after him. In that game, a couple of years ago, I was privileged to get the film from that game. Now, I have to tell you, this was interesting because the first three quarters, my husband played offensive guard. The last quarter, my husband played defensive tackle.
Oh, my word.
Now,
that's amazing.
When you're talking about the Tampa Tribune, I have a photo I'll show you later of Jeff and Leroy. They did one whole full page color of Jeff and Leroy coming and shaking hands together when they won. Oh, they were 0-26, December 11th, 1977. And to this day now, we don't know, was it defense and defense shaking hands and saying, hey, we pulled it off, we did it, or was it offense and defense shaking hands?
That's probably never happened since then.
No.
Would you think?
No.
No. Absolutely not.
No.
We're having a great conversation. The Flip Side of Glory is the book. You can get it on Amazon.
Amazon, Kindle, and Nook.
Brandi Winans, A True Story of Love, Acceptance, and Hope as Told by an NFL Wife. Okay, so the $800, you know, I don't need specifics, but it took you 16 years, and he passed in 2012. When did you finally come to a solution with the NFL that you felt comfortable with and that he wasn't being disrespected and that would be a platform for players in the future?
When we finally got our disability at that time, he never actually got total and permanent, but they had renewed a category called degenerative disc category. And at which is no longer, it's been taken off because a lot of the players ended up with degenerative disc disease.
What BS? Are you kidding me? I almost said, you know, and I guess I can. Joe probably said,
Let me also say, Mike, I love the game. And I am today
but the hypocrisy
a very strong NFL advocate for disability and pensions and the fighting for players to get their concussion settlement because of what we lived and because of what we went through. And I had no idea until 2007 how many other players and families were going through what we were going through in those times.
Well, in today's world, I mean, obviously, media coverage has exploded from coverage of the NFL in any sport. But here's some names. I just want to throw these out. And I knew one of these young men. These are names. And these guys were all active in the NFL in some capacity. If you were a fan of the teams there and you know the names, you may not. They're not a household. Shane Dronate. Tyler Sash, University of Iowa. I knew Tyler. Adrian Robinson, Junior Seau. People will recognize these names. Aaron Hernandez, right, wrong, or indifferent. Dave Duerson, another Notre Dame, former 85 Chicago Bears. And Mike Webster, those great Pittsburgh Steelers teams. Rob Lytle. And these gentlemen all took their own lives. But you don't hear about that, and you have to be a sports fan. And then I dove back into this topic, and I'm remembering, man, remember Dave Duerson had the world by the tail. And what about Junior Seau? I mean, these guys were 12-time Pro Bowlers, Super Bowl champions, and they had everything.
They did.
And this CTE created this level of depression, and that's just sick. And you know a lot about it from a medical perspective. Explain it to us.
The CTE, which is the proper word, is chronic traumatic encephalopathy.
I'm glad you said that. I've been working on it for about 3 days, so I didn't butcher it. Thank you. I'm serious. I was testing in front of my friends. I'm like, man, I'm going to butcher this. I guarantee you. CT, chronic traumatic, and then I was done.
Encephalopathy.
Thank you.
And it was how I found out about chronic traumatic encephalopathy was quite by accident. I was house-sitting my girlfriend's house in May of 2007. I was channel surfing because I didn't have HBO and Cinemax at my house, and so I was channel surfing, and I ran across an interview of Bryant Gumbel's Real Sports, and Bernie Goldberg was interviewing a young man named Chris Nowinski, and Chris was talking about a book that he'd written called Head Games, and he was talking about neurocognitive conditions and some of the conditions that he was discovering about himself. He lived in Boston. He had gone to Boston University. He had met with Dr. Ann McKee, had met with Dr. Robert Cantu and Dr. Robert Stern. And when he started talking about the symptoms and signs of concussions and neurocognitive problems, every single one of them was Jeff. The ironic backside of
that. But you didn't realize that.
Right. 2 days before that, I had gotten divorce papers from my husband. Didn't know I was getting a divorce. So we had separated the year before. He went back to California, and we were very close, and our son had gone out to stay with him for a couple of years. And so I was dumbfounded when I got my divorce papers and had no idea that I was even getting a divorce. Then I'm watching Bryant Gumbel's HBO Real Sports, and everything started making sense to me, and I had this gut feeling was Jeff's disabilities from physical disabilities and prescription drug addiction, or could it be something else? And I had to find this kid. I found him on the internet that night. I Googled him, and within 24 hours, he Googles me back, and he said, "We got to have a call." The morning of the phone call, I'm watching GMA, and I'm watching Joe D that Jeff played with at Buffalo. Joe DeLamelier.
Yeah.
I'm watching Mike Dicka talk about the congressional hearings in 2007. They're talking about disability pensions, concussion problem, all of these things. And I get on the phone with Chris because I said, I just wrote a manuscript called The Flip Side of Glory. And I said, people don't understand what happens when the shoulder pads and the helmets come off and the family unit is lost in transition. And I said, we were so lost in transition. Nobody knew what to do, and we were not getting the help we needed. So Chris goes, you have to come up. I'll put you in touch with Linda Sanchez's office. You got to testify. You got to come up and be at these hearings and at the DICA press conference. And that's how I started learning about CTE. I went up on my own dime. I went to the press conference. I walked in the door, and for the first time from 1981 to 2007, there was all these other families that were there going through what we had been going through, and we started putting our very first support groups together. And on my way out the door, HBO called and said, would you do an interview with us? And do you know of anybody else? Well, it's very difficult to come forward with things like that because we're
from
all
a
very
personal
private
perspective. Yes.
Because you don't want to air your laundry, and you want people when they walk out their front door, like my husband, to have dignity and integrity and in the
and
community.
Pride.
And there's so much pride. And so I said, let me see what I can do. I would like to talk, but I got to talk to Jeff first.
Absolutely.
And so I did. He was actually going to be doing the interview with me until his parents forbid him to do it. And he said, do it. Do it anyway. I wasn't happy with the way the interview came out. I felt they portrayed him really, really poorly, like they did the other two interviews that I ended up putting together with Brian DeMarco and his wife. And then they had picked up Cindy Phillips, Wayne Phillips' wife. But what it did is it opened people's eyes to the fact of neurocognitive problems that we had not seen before except for Mike Webster. I'm very close with the Webster family.
Oh, are you?
I'm very close with...
That was one of the first athletes of prominence. No offense to Jeff or anything.
Right.
Like I said, these guys were all incredible athletes, NFL players. But Mike Webster being a part of those Steelers championship teams... that really caught people's attention.
That caught people's attention, and the fact that Dr. Bennett Amalu was able to do his autopsy. The movie came out with about, you know, concussion, the movie Concussion. It was 99% extremely factual because I know it because I've lived and breathed it, and I know the people that were involved in it. I know Dr. Bennett Amalu. I know Cantu, and I know Dr. Ann McKee actually ended up doing my husband's autopsy. I never would have gotten back together with my husband because we did end up getting back together.
Great.
I'm writing The Flip Side of Glory, the final chapter, because my husband was a wonderful, wonderful man.
Well.
And somebody that...
that's quite evident with your emotion.
Such a blessing.
And all the effort that you put forth on his behalf... And not just from your family's tragedy, but representing everybody out there. Books like this need to be written, and I commend you. How many years did this take?
It took several years. I tried to get Jeff to write it for 8 years. The funny part about the book is I think because of everything we went through, you get about 10% of what we actually experienced.
And no one can walk in your shoes,
no,
as I say.
No, you can't. You can't.
I don't care. People say, oh... I understand. No, you don't understand. I don't care what tragedy is in life. When people say that, I'm like, don't ever say that to someone.
You can't.
You feel for them.
After going to the congressional hearings, I knew then that God had taken me to that hearing, to that press conference, because what I had just written about needed to be told.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
And as somebody who, as an NFL wife, Nobody wants to touch you. You can't, you know, I'd had Wiley want to look at me for publishing, and I decided I want to get this out as soon as possible. So I went to another friend of mine who's a publisher here and ended up with Sierra Press and getting it done. The thing that caught my eye the most, though, was when I first sent the manuscript to Jeff, and I said, what do you think?
Was he still in California? When you sent him the manuscript?
He was in California. I sent it to him, and the book originally was about 400 and some pages.
Wow.
Because I had a lot of it.
Yeah.
A lot of it.
Yeah. So, it probably could have been 4,000 pages if he kept going.
I called him, and I said, what did you think about it? He said, I cried during the first half, but he said, I don't like the way you're portraying me in the second half. And I said, I understand. And I said, it's not about bashing. It's not a book about bashing anybody. That isn't the point of the book. I said, then take out what you don't want in there and send it back. So he sends back the manuscript, and usually, pretty much the last half is scratched out. So I rewrote it. I really needed to rewrite. I've sent it back, and I said, what did you think? And he said, I cried during the first half again. After reading it again, he said, I now understand what you're trying to do, hon. And he said, we have to get this book out. And he said, I don't like the way that you portrayed me a couple of those chapters, but he said, I understand now why. And he said, if it'll help one family, then we have to do it.
The Flip Side of Glory is the name of the book. She discusses with us. We're very fortunate here on RadioSt.Pete.com, St. Pete Sports Connection, the story of her husband, Jeff Winan, and Brandy, this is just what's amazing to me is your commitment to push through all these obstacles every time. And against one of the most powerful corporations in the world, the NFL. And that had to have been, I mean, you want to talk about taking on the lion, a little mouse. That's unbelievable.
You know, I was on a mission. I hate injustice, and injustice was happening
to
our family.
This is full of injustice.
We ended up filing bankruptcy. We lost everything, and we were supposed to. Because if we hadn't have gone through everything that we went through, we would not have been able to write and tell our story and to be able to reach out to other families and players, which is how what happened after this book and my HBO interview, God took the reins, literally, because I wasn't wanting to do anything else that has happened throughout since 2008, except that it was just totally God as a blessing. And what I'm trying to tell you now is that the book came out the same time my HBO interview came out.
Now, I have to ask this, because I went through this in my family. The addiction to pills, and I was discussing with my girlfriend last night, because my son, we'll talk about it openly, my son Michael. And I've never been through anything so horrific in my life. You know, my son was the All-American boy, college athlete, and had, there's Trish. I need some information on the Budweiser event, if you could get that to me, dear, so I can promote it. So anyway, it hit our family, and I was just astonished of how it can change someone's mentality, their personality, and their rage, and for a little white pill. And you experienced it because your husband was in immense pain. My God, my son had minor pain after nothing surgery and still got addicted for almost 7 years and destroyed his life.
And you have to understand, in the NFL back in those days, pretty much you had a line in the locker room for anything that you wanted. And Jeff had never taken a drug except for smoking pot in his life until he got to Buffalo and got injured. So, you know, at that time, the chemical imbalance in the body, at first when you are in pain, and as his body deteriorated, the man lived in pain. But he'd also been taught how to handle pain. If you took spring training camp in May, all right, the mini camps that they would go to, literally he would come back completely black and blue. His whole body would be black and blue.
Which would never happen in today's world. And Barry mentioned that with John McKay. Yeah. But it wasn't John McKay's fault. That was old school football.
That was old school football. That's right. Mm-hmm. Old school football. So, you know, when he first left football, you know where he lived? He lived on the floor with pillows under his knees and a pillow under his head. And getting up was just horrific for him. He'd have to roll over to his side. And sometimes I've seen him crawl to the bathroom in so much pain.
Oh,
and so at
word.
That point in time, you know, give him anything that he needs in order to help him to have some sort of life. And that's why, you know, these guys end up in the beginning getting depressed and thinking, you know, Jeff's biggest thing was he wanted to work. You know, how can I support my family? You know, well, I could kill myself and give my wife my insurance policy. And that sometimes that's how these guys think.
And it's unfortunate, but it's their pride. They're old school. The man takes care of his family.
That's right.
And, you know, that's the man you married. And due to the unfortunate circumstances of the injuries and
but
and,
the hardest part
the
for
pain,
him
oh, man.
Was watching his family turn their back on him.
Oh, that would be crushing to any man that's a family man.
And not wanting me to fight the NFL, not wanting me to stand tall, not wanting me to talk about things like this, you know, forbidding your own son from doing an HBO interview.
Well, Brandy, you were one hell of a woman, I'll tell you that, to fight through that process, knowing that you were doing the right thing, and you said, "Thy will be done." God's telling you, you got to do this for other families. And I just named 10 families that wish they would have known more about it. And those 10 NFL players took their own lives, and it's just, it's so sad.
It is. When people started saying, Brandy, emails, phone calls, you're telling my life. This is my story. I need somebody to talk to. I need somebody to talk to. Will you talk to me? And then you get on the phone with people, and they have needed somebody to talk to for years. And literally, you just need to listen. Let them pour their heart out. Let them tell you their story of what they're going through, or a family member calling and saying, I don't know what to do. I can't get any help.
Let me ask you this about the NFL in 2021. Now, with obviously the information that's available, we know what's caused it. Have you seen the NFL be honest and open and really want to address this issue? Are they still kicking and scratching every little dime they can? What's your opinion?
We all went to work. The NFL, congressional hearings in 2007, first and foremost. Alan Schwartz, New York Times, Gay Culverhouse. I did an interview, New York Times interview with her and Batman Richard Wood and Scott Brantley back in 2009. They flew down here and did an interview with us on the things that we're going through, with fighting for better disability pensions, fighting for the neurocognitive category to be added in, which is now added in. But now they give you a hard time in order to get it. The concussion settlement, the biggest joke on earth right now. We've only had out of all those players, over 20,000 players that have applied, 1,400 have gotten a settlement.
Out of the 20,000?
Yes.
I picked up the New York Times just the day that I called you, and there was a story about. And now they say that they're trying to segregate the data, black versus white. And I don't know if that's just trying to extend this from not being solved, but it looks like another issue that they're going to have to overcome.
Chris Seeger, great lawyer, but to me, the money that he inhaled from the settlement, we were part of the settlement. We had a great attorney out of Minnesota, and the things that we have seen personally in getting players to actually get their disability and concussion settlement, because what they'll do is it's based on your credited seasons, it's based on your age, it's based on. For instance,
shouldn't be based on your age. If you're diagnosed early in your life, you agree?
Yes, but see, back then, if Jeff got his bell rung and he had multiple concussions, got his bell rung, it was called a bell. He got his bell rung.
I know. I'm the same age group.
You're giving him the smelling stuff, and you're getting back in
had
the
it
game,
done to me,
right? So you know how many fingers? Oh, great! You're good.
You're
to
good.
Go.
You're good to go, and you're running. You're running to the other side of the field. Man,
right.
Horrible.
Exactly. So, you know, in that respect, when you're seeing things like that happen on the field, these guys are betting that their doctors and their coaches have their best interest.
Well, here's the hypocrisy of it, because you do see it in the game today, and a lot of the fans get upset. You know, Patrick Mahomes, as an example, he got a hit in the playoffs.
Yep.
And he couldn't play the next game. And they were successful. Fans are livid. Well, the NFL, from a protection perspective, because I think they don't want any more lawsuits, and everybody says in today's world that the NFL is not behind them. But you see those provisions in place. Why can't they pass them over and take care of the settlement? Because they're being hypocrites. They're making sure it doesn't happen now. The quarterbacks are rarely really hammered. Which is good for the game. They've got the helmets. They've got everything in place, but they still won't pay the settlements. That is BS.
Well, here's the thing. People forget when the settlement first started. Oh, the NFL has nothing to do with this. We have our separate firm over here. We have our separate mediators. We have our separate people. Now, let me tell you what happens. So you get a monetary award. All right, so that side, that side that has nothing to do with the NFL, they have five neurologists. They read all your reports. You go through all these interviews and all these different things that you go through. And let's say they give you that monetary award. Okay. Then guess what happens after that? Then it goes to the NFL for final review.
So you really didn't win.
Now it goes to the NFL for final review, and then they take their people and they decide, they dissect all the things that the five neurologists have just said that, yes, he deserves
what
a monetary
BS.
Award.
This is horrible.
And then they will deny it.
This is horrible.
And then what happens? You have to reappeal. And then you get denied again.
Shame
and then
on
you
the
have
NFL,
to
man.
That, so
that's the reality of it now. Roger Goodell, go to hell. That's horrible, man. Absolutely horrible.
So when they say the NFL doesn't have anything to do with it, yes, because the NFL is the final person that writes that paycheck.
Unbelievable. So 20,000 have filed, and around 1,400 have actually gotten a financial settlement. Now, are the financial settlements, would you say are they are generous? Or?
It depends. It depends on how, who you are and how
criteria.
Many years you played. So let's do this. Jeff played 7 years in the league, but two of the years he went on IR, and they weren't head-related. Okay. They weren't head-related, so
but they're injuries-wise playing. End
well,
of story.
They were credited seasons when he was on disability.
Oh, my word.
But now, guess what? Those 2 years are taken off of your settlement. Then you also have 5% of your settlement going to a trust fund that you'll never see again. Then you have your attorney's fees. So by the time you get your monetary award, it's not anywhere near where the high point of what you thought you were going to get is. Because back then, in those days, they didn't even look at concussions as being any part of your disability. So how could you have gone on IR for concussion unless you had a broken neck or something?
Oh, my word. This story isn't getting any better, is it?
They have.
It's
I have
improved.
To tell you. I
it's
have
improved.
To tell you because I'm very strong with our NFL alumni here. I'm our chapter engagement coordinator. I'm our treasurer. But let me tell you something. We have made a lot of positive changes. And the PA had brought in the trust and the locker room, and they brought in transition careering. They have done a lot for the league between the two entities because they've had to.
Yeah, because they've had to. But the Players Association and every league now is much stronger than it ever was back in the day.
Absolutely. And that's the positive side. Listen, we didn't have annuity programs. We didn't have savings programs. We didn't have any of that stuff now that the players have today. And a good life insurance policy in case something happened to your family.
Well, and those, even if they don't have CTE or any neurological issues, some of the stories of the old, you know, I'm 64, and you go back to Green Bay Packers was my team. I can name all the starting lineup from Bart Starr to Jerry Craig. I could go on and on. Those guys, if they fell on hard times, got lost by the NFL. You have stories of guys that were homeless. Travis Williams is a prime example in L.A., and they found him homeless.
Right, exactly.
This guy scored two touchdowns in a friggin' Super Bowl and was a Greek god during that short snapshot of his life. But nobody's there to help him.
I can tell you stories of I have probably worked since 2008 with about 150 players all over the country.
God bless
you. And I can tell you stories of families calling me in the middle of the night. He ran into the woods again.
Oh,
we
my
can't
word.
Find him. He's been gone for days.
It's almost like dementia.
It is.
Perspective of it, right?
It is. You know, probably the most heart-wrenching one of the calls that I got from my husband 3,000 miles away was when he, in his own hometown, got lost and couldn't find his way home. And so those are the kind of things that we had to get out in the open and get recognized, because right now still we've made so many different positive changes with Boston University. Chris Nowinski started Sports Legacy Institute, which is now Concussion Legacy Foundation. We press with Flag Until 14. We have brought on so many brain donors. I'm a brain donor myself. I was so blessed. If I had not met Chris, if I had not seen that HBO Real Sports special, I would probably never have gotten back with my husband. I would have always attributed his death to something else. I never would have been able to do the good and have the blessings that I've had to work with so many other families across the country and players in my lifetime, and be able to say, you know, look at, you have somebody here. Now we've been able to put support groups together. Now we're able to reach out and make things happen. We have the Players Congress, the NFL alumni. We have so many benefits for our players and people in our community now. It's just amazing.
And you know who you, of course, it, God's will, but your friend that let you house it, that's the key, who had HBO. There you go.
And Lori was gone to Europe for... And I don't get HBO at my house.
I said, your friend at your house said, and you watched HBO, inspired this. So
it all started there.
Divine
intervention. God rest her soul. She passed away a couple of years later. And, yeah, you know, you never know where life is going to take you or what journey you're going to go on. But one thing that has kept me sustained, and there was a time it was on a roller coaster ride, is my faith.
Oh, my gosh. Talk about a story of resilience, and it's the flip side of glory. You can get it on, again, Amazon.
Amazon, Kindle, and Nook.
Kindle. I haven't heard that for a while. My daughter, who's in the medical field in Chicago, she's the brainiac of the family. You could pile me, the boys and my brains all together and all in one, and we're not getting a sniff at her. She won the Kindle when she was like 7. So, is that a University of Iowa Hawkeyes hat? Go Hawks! Atta boy. There's some Cyclones right there. But they pull for the Hawks now we live down here. Sorry for that University of Iowa interruption there, but loud, proud
Hawkeye.
Well,
there's a lot of Iowans here.
Oh, yeah.
There's a big, in fact, Ed Peters that used to be with Ferg's here helping to do marketing. Yeah, he's an old buddy of mine.
He's
from
in Arizona
NSA,
now, isn't he?
National Speakers Association. I've known Eddie for about 20 years.
I met Eddie, in fact, when he left, I had Mark ask me if I wanted to do some of his jobs, and I ended up doing the watch parties.
Yeah.
And people, they looked at me.
I went to Eddie's wedding. I flew out to Arizona. Yeah.
And he brought his bride back here. I met his bride.
Yeah.
But anyway, everybody's like, who are you? You're not Eddie. I'm like, dudes, I'm a ho- Des Moines, don't be so rude. I know Eddie was a boss, you know. He's littler than me, but I'm little Eddie. I'm trying to keep up. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know Eddie. Anyway, so you can pick the board for a while. Didn't mean to digress. But, all right, I do have one question. I'll read the book. How old was your husband when you lost him?
61. I had just flown out. We were back together. We were 2 months from getting remarried.
Oh.
We had already made the move to move back here to Florida. Was so excited because Dad could hang out at the gym. Jeff was Travis's everything. It was Jeff's everything. The two of them, he misses his...
Blessed that my sons, I have two, convinced, the one that had his issues, I'm so proud of him now, I have two grandchildren, 3 and 1, they're beautiful, and I think I'll get him down here. He actually, about a month ago, he did the show with me, and then we had a little music for Sunshine 96.7, and he played a couple of songs, and it was a family affair. My 82-year-old mom, 81, so he's listening, 81, be 82. My grandchildren, it was a family affair, so I know the feeling. And your son's right down the street. I got to get him up here to do a little promo.
You know what? I will. He and Jake Irwin.
Anytime he wants.
Jake Irwin, they're by appointment only, and they do some group sessions. He also does online training. I couldn't be more proud as a mother of my son. I am fitness, and they're at 2130 Central Avenue. Travis has NASM degree, a sports medicine, nutrition, USA powerlifting. He does CrossFit training, certifications. He's got about every kind of certification you can imagine. And he's really, really good at what he does. He's been a gym rat since he was about 10 years old.
That's fabulous. Hey, all right. Now, if you don't mind, let's transition before, to wind things down because this here. You lost yours. Your fell down there.
Yeah, got it.
The Florida. Yeah, we can share this. I think we can figure it out, huh?
Yeah.
Radio on the fly. You've done radio.
Along the way here, in some of my many faces that I've had along the way, a very colorful life that I'm very
obviously very successful.
You know,
by the way,
there's a lot of things I have been not so
highly doubtful.
I've had some shameful moments. I think like everybody,
we all have. That's
oh,
just
yeah.
L-I-F-E.
Absolutely. You know, it's called survival.
Oh yeah, trust me. Yeah. We'll share stories off air sometime.
Out of all these things, I am a survivor. But, you know, we were talking about Barry Smith and Wayne Hogan and Jen Richard earlier, because I've just come on to an amazing organization that has just been formed. And the organization is called Florida Rising Stars. And it is one of the most unique programs that I have ever seen for high school students who want to start and get involved and see if a sports career is for them. And I know, like, my son was a basketball star, and
where'd
my
he go
husband
to high
was football. Travis was the leading scorer for Pinellas County in his senior year. He scored 783 points. He was averaging almost 29 points a game, and he had some games over 50 points. He was amazing.
It's amazing what genetics will
exactly. insert. He's also another natural athlete,
like
golfer. Jeff was a golfer. But anyway, Barry Smith and Wayne Hogan and Jan Richard got me on the phone one day and said, hey, you know, we're looking for somebody to come on and help develop and put on some partnerships and get this organization off the ground. And we were thinking if you might want to come on. And I looked at the program, and I am so blessed to be part of the Florida Rising Stars right now as their director of development. As I said before, this is what a five-star program looks like. If you look at a star, it has 5 points. And so they're dealing with sports on the field. They're dealing with sports off the field. And this was the thing that got my interest, because if you have the Bill Patrick officiating, you have broadcasting, you have sports journalism, you have on the field stuff that you can do, you also have sports journalism, you've got athletic training and sports medicine. Any of those 5 points that you can get involved in, if you are even thinking of getting into a sports career, this is a program, a camp, a 1 or 2 day camp that is just amazing.
Very impressive. Florida Rising Stars, spectacular. And it's a showcase. It's online auction. It's the March 25th, this coming week, through the 28th. Talk a little bit about that.
Yes. AmFund is an amazing company that that we are working with. And they have been kind enough to put up our virtual silent online auction. And let me tell you something. The silent online auction, we have some amazing travel packages as well as sports memorabilia. The travel packages, one thing that interested me about the travel packages is they go on. You don't have to use it up in a year. You have 3 years to travel, and with COVID right now, it's an amazing.
That's fabulous.
It also includes all your airfare. But along with that, we have sports memorabilia from people like Tony Dungy, from Steve Spurrier, from Bobby Bowden. Why do we have
You're
those
a name
guys?
Dropper.
Do you know why? Because
they
are part
it.
Of 58 ambassadors that have come on to endorse us with the Florida Rising Stars.
I got to do another St. Paddy's Day plug. Rocky Blyer, the man, Notre Dame graduate right there. Danny Werfel, of course, right here at home. And Freddie Biletnikoff, talking about your husband's Raiders.
Yep.
Freddie Biletnikoff, I love that cat.
Yep, we've got Titus O'Neill. We've got all sports from all walks of life to be have come on and graciously said, yes, we're in. We're in as your ambassadors. We're in as coming on and helping to coach some of these kids. We've got athletic directors from high schools. We've got it all. And we're trying to kick off with March 25th through the 28th with the online auction. And we're doing an interview with our buddy J.P. Peterson. And then we are shooting right now for the stars of June to start our first camp.
Fabulous. You listen to St. Pete Sports Connection right here on RadioSt.Pete.com. You can catch us on Spotify and, of course, Apple and Tampa Podcast. Our sister station is 96.7 FM. Sunshine and Joe Bardot and the guys, and you're going to participate in the, what do you call it, radio reunion?
We have our 15th annual radio reunion. We had to scrap it last year, so actually it would be our 16th year in radio.
With an asterisk.
With an asterisk. Actually, we've been in that business a lot longer than that. I started back with WPLP Talk Radio back with Teddy Webb and that motley crew back in the late 70s. So
really?
Yeah.
Did you have a broadcasting degree or anything? Provided information people wanted to hear?
I was an actor. I did commercial print.
Actress.
Print work, actor, professional dancer back in the day.
Wow.
Went out to California to follow my dream and then found out there were 40,000 other girls that wanted the same thing I did, but I was able to pursue it and be persistent in that area. And then when I came back here, I met Jeff and got on with a couple other talent agencies. So doing voiceovers, writing copy, whatever we could with WPLP back
then. Full life, and you're far from winding her down. It seems like you're cranking it up. I think I did a little goofy little video the other day because I'm trying to figure the social media out. And Barry Smith is the one, when they interviewed me, told me, he said, I got a great line for guys like us. He said, and it's Clint Eastwood's We're Stealing. He was playing golf with Toby Keith, the country singer.
Yep.
And Toby Keith said, he probably was in his late 80s then, Clint. He said, you're amazing, man. How do you do it? And Clint said, every day I look in the mirror, I don't let the old man in. Toby loved that so much, he took it, wrote a song, and then that movie, The Mule, which is a true story, and I love it.
That was a great movie.
Yeah, Barry and I shared it. It's a true story. And at the end of the movie, that song, Don't Let the Old Man In. Well, it relates to us in our age group.
It does. Age is just a number.
Exactly.
You know, I've been an athlete my whole life.
Yeah.
I'm going to continue to work out and exercise. I do kickboxing. I do all kinds of workouts because it does. It can help to keep you young at heart, and age is just a number. And we, you know, I have a beautiful family. We just have so much fun. But I did want to mention, too, a lot of the things that we're going to be doing with Florida Rising Stars, we're getting involved with the Boys and Girls Club, Big Brothers, Big Sisters.
All organizations I was involved in up in Iowa.
Yeah, exactly. And great organizations. And then we're also looking for financial assistance. I've got some great partnerships that are available right now if you want to get involved. If you just want to make a $5 or a $10 or a $20 donation, you can go online to FloridaRisingStarsProject.com and you can make any kind of a GoFundMe donation. We're getting this thing kicked off the ground. We know it's going to do great things. And, you know, to be able to have the financial assistance, which is what we're looking for, to let these kids, a lot of underserved, underprivileged kids, and also any kid that wants to come join and learn about the sports careers, and then help in the aftercare, because the aftercare, after somebody comes in for a long weekend and learns things, they're all hyped up, and we want to keep that momentum going. The center of it will be life skills. So at
Absolutely.
The end of the day, we're going to take it into the life skill programs and help them establish what they need to do.
Well, I'm making an offer. If my resume would add up, I want to volunteer to assist you in any capacity I can, because that was my passion when I started my little company in 1996 back in Iowa. I turned my life around, and I wanted to make a difference in kids' life, and I really focused on young kids that didn't have male role models.
Yeah,
that's a big factor in today's world for the kids in the urban areas and the kids that don't come from high economic, they don't have male role models. And that sounds very sexist, but that's reality. And I've brought people like Coach Carter and some very powerful speakers that address that. And so if there's anything that I can do, Brandy, I'm in.
I think you're hired, Mike. And the reason this is so close to my heart, too, is before my NFL football wife life, I was a
wife
troubled
life.
Kid.
I like that. Not Wi-Fi, wife life.
I was a troubled kid. I lost my dad just before my 14th birthday. My mom had tried to commit suicide when I was 11. When my dad died, our infrastructure fell apart. I had one brother go to Vietnam, another brother ended up in prison, and I was very, very lost.
You are one strong woman.
And
wow.
I was determined that I was going to follow my dreams, and that was to head to Cali and get into my acting and all of that. But along the way, I got in trouble.
You gave me goosebumps there.
I got involved with kids that I shouldn't have been involved with,
well,
didn't you know.
We all.
And
well, mine were called adults, not kids. I got in trouble a little bit later in life. But I'm sorry.
Yeah. So you know, to be able to lose everything, I've lost everything many times in my life, but God has been able to renew me and rebuild me and make me better from it. And I think sometimes we go through a lot in our life, and we don't understand why. And sometimes we may never understand why, but as we grow in age, like you and I, you know, God will start to open those doors if we pray about it, if we ask about it. I'm not going to get into being the holy roller here, but my faith really has gotten me through everything in life and continues to do so.
My mom's listening right now, and she's going to love you, and you're going to meet her someday.
Hey, Mom.
All right, Brandy. Well, this has been fabulous. I feel blessed because I've been looking for something to be able to throw myself into from a contribution piece, and this is right up my alley. And I think we're gonna be friends, and then
awesome.
we're gonna owe Barry again. But he doesn't do anything with wanting, you know, payback. He's just that cool of a cat and a great man.
That's Barry. You know, Barry gives and gives. Wayne is another one that gives and gives. Jan Richard, our founder of Florida Rising Stars, give and give and give. If you want to reach me direct, you can reach me at Brandy@FloridaRisingStars.com. That's Brandy, B-R-A-N-D-I, @FloridaRisingStars.com. And I thank you so much for having me on today. It's been a pleasure.
Pleasure. It's been an honor. All right, dear. I look forward to interviewing your son, and we'll be talking. I might have to get you on quite often for quick updates.
You'll have to do a show from there.
I would do that.
There you go. We'll do a show from
you. Are a promoter.
I am fitness.
All right, dear. Have a great weekend.
Happy Paddy's Day.
Brandy Winans, and what a wonderful woman. We will be conversing. I'm going to do a little homework here for St. Pete Sports Connection. Joseph Colbert is going to join me. Colbert covers business, and I'm going to take care of a little business here. As I've got the entire Treasure Island Party Group here. We're going to have some fun in about 10 minutes. We're going to even let my wingman, Kenny G, on the radio. I'm going to warn him at the studio to have the mute button ready. Hey, next Sunday is the Philadelphia Phillies 1980 reunion, Ruth Eckert Hall. Tim McCarver, Bob Boone, Larry Boa, Greg Luzinski, and Pete Rose. Almost forgot Pete Rose. Pete Rose, and they're all going to be up there at Ruth Eckert, and that is to celebrate the World Series win of 1980, and just go to Ruth Eckert website for ticket information, and Ted Williams Foundation, proud sponsor of this event, and I'll be there, and it'll be a great day meeting some of those greats of the game. I've met several of them already. I've met Greg Luzinski, and he's quite the guy. Anyway, let me do a little plug for Bat. I could have a lot of fun with this, but I won't. Anyway, I'd like to mention, it's an amazing massage therapy. In fact, near and dear to my heart, it's called BAT, and it stands for Body Armor Transitional Massage Therapy. Dan Nicola is a genius behind this chronic pain relief method. My sister Julie's had all kinds of neurological issues. She was visiting from Iowa. It's been horrible for her. And that what they've tried to do is everything from steroids to pills, and they just didn't work. And my girlfriend, Terry West, works there, and she said, you need to meet this Dan. I'm thinking, well, I don't know, hocus pocus. Well, I'm telling you right now, absolutely not. She had this therapy, and she got out of there. She was smiling. She actually, because she's in constant pain, and it actually worked. His cutting-edge therapy went on, brought her some relief, and I'm hoping we can find someone in Iowa that can duplicate or replicate this. No one's even the experts at the University of Iowa hospitals couldn't. So for an appointment for your bat therapy with Dan Nicola, the number is 727-360-4300. And that's Paradise Spa. It's a full-spectrum day spa. It's right over there in Treasure Island where I live, 107th. And I'll tell you what, I'm actually getting one on Wednesday, and I will give you my report back next week. That's Paradise Spa and Bat Therapy, and that stands for Body Armor. Thank you very much, Brandy. And so with that, I'll bring my young wizard, the family man, Joseph Colberry. Joined me last week. We're gonna try to do this every week. And have a little bit of fun. How are you, my man?
Doing wonderful. Thanks for having me on, Mike. I appreciate it.
Well, always. Thanks for coming over. You should have brought the fam down. Now I know why. Every time we had a meeting, you'd want to meet at one of these vibrant places, you know. And I'm old school. I'm like coffee shops. You're taking me to bistros and all these things, you know, teaching me language. I don't know. I'm drinking things that you suggest that I've never heard of. Now I'm a health nut. And what's that place right down the road here that we've met for coffee several times?
Brew Delicious. That's where we met at. They were one of the victims of COVID-19.
Oh, that's
but they're
sad.
They're getting ready to reinvent themselves and start somewhere next. So
well,
working that, on it.
And the entrepreneurial spirit.
That's it.
Okay, so each and every week we want to promote what you're doing in your world. And in fact, let's just rewind, because I know our audience has almost doubled since last week. Let's rewind what you talked about last week.
Absolutely.
And your commitment to the environment.
First and foremost, I founded an organization called OnePeaceEach.org. And what we do is we're raising awareness by letting people know they can do their part by simply picking up a piece of trash or recycling or just doing the simple things that add up to making a difference environmentally for the future of our planet. So that's One Piece Each, and that's a passion of mine. Passion project that is now worldwide. We have One Piece Each Austria, South Africa, and the list goes on and on. So it's very exciting and a very gratifying experience.
Well, let me ask you this, because I live down on the beach, and it's just pathetic. Until I moved down there, I didn't realize how people disrespect the environment. And they roll in, you know, on weekends. And for the most part, I would say that they're young people.
Sure.
You know, and they're carefree. We were there back in the day. But they're carefree. And the garbage that's left down on Sunset Beach or Treasure Island after a weekend sickens you. I'd like to pound the hell out of them. But and you can pound it in their brain, and they still don't think about it. They don't respect the environment or the planet or just the little beach around you. It's not that tough, man.
I felt the same way, Mike, and I took my frustrations and I created One Piece Each.
So you're smarter than me.
We raise awareness now, and we're bringing a lot of people into the environmental fold. It's very exciting. People are doing the right thing.
Well, you know, we're having a little party. It's a St. Paddy's thing. I should have told you to
have my green on. Yeah,
to throw a little green on. That's my bad. But it's going to be – you've got one promotion here at 3 o'clock with Budweiser.
Okay.
And it's – you know those – in those bar games, the hoops?
Sure.
Yeah, so they're going to have all kinds at 3 o'clock right behind here at Ferg's. Come on down. Budweiser, big promotion, lots of prizes, and you can win a Budweiser fridge, and I'll give you a little more detail in a minute. So let's go into the businesses that you got involved in that help small business.
Absolutely.
As well as the environment.
We want to talk about credit card acceptance. If you're a business owner, whether you own a large business like Ferg's, or you might be a barbershop owner, or you might do auto repair, at the end of every month, you pay fees for customers swiping those credit cards. What my company does, CoverAllConsulting.us, is we either lower the cost for you or we completely eliminate it by charging the customer a tiny convenience fee on the charge. And what it does is it takes money that that business owners were wasting. They get to save that money and reallocate it to build their business, which is very exciting. In times like this, when people are recovering from COVID-19, from the COVID vaccine and all that stuff going on and getting right, this is a chance to recover some of that lost revenue and put it back into your business to help it grow.
Well, think about it. I said this at the beginning of the show, and I want to plug it again. 1 year ago, think of the state of shock that we all were in.
Absolutely.
I mean, we were in shock. No one really thought. Remember, they talked about a 2-week quarantine. And as I mentioned, I was up at Spectrum Field for the Phillies, and I believe it was the Orioles game. And we got the phone call. We're done.
Yeah.
Baseball's done. Yes, and then March Madness was done.
Yes, sir.
And unfortunately, those are unimportant things. relative to the, you know, 500,000 lives that we lost.
Yes, sir.
But it starts hitting home for people who are like, man, I can't go golfing. I can't buy toilet paper, for cripe's sakes. I mean, small things like that. We've come a long ways in 1 year, and I do appreciate the aggressiveness with some temperance. And there's always issues, and I don't like to get political, but I think DeSantis has done the right thing if you study what's happened in the other cities.
Sure.
And you're a businessman. You just talked about a small business that didn't survive.
That's right.
And New York City, they're all getting crushed.
Decimated. Yeah, absolutely. So we're recovering, we're adapting and adjusting as a society, and things are a lot different, but we're working on the upswing, and things are getting better every day. So it's very gratifying, and we're real excited about it.
Okay, so let's talk about your dive into solar and into turf.
Sure, let's close it out with solar energy. Right now, of course, I love the environment. I'm excited about raising awareness. Solar power allows you to get off the grid and actually use the energy of the sun to power your home, your pool heater, and whatnot. So I'm getting involved in solar energy. If you have any questions about credit cards or solar energy, you can call us at 888-351-4177. The company I work for, Power, that's POWUR.com, offers a full 30-year part-for-part warranty, so you can get your solar panel system and you can feel good about it. If there's any trouble, they're going to come out and fix it for you.
Well, Joseph, maybe you should go over and try this, man. Look at this. This is going to be the Budweiser March Madness.
I'll shoot.
See how many shots you can get in.
Absolutely.
You got any skills?
I got a little bit. A little bit left. Yes, sir.
3 to 6 o'clock, right behind us here. Come on down to Ferg's. Going to be jammed. St. Paddy's Day celebration. And St. Pete just gets more and more vibrant every Saturday. This is the 13th.
It's the best city in the world. I believe that.
Without a shadow of a doubt. I'm responsible for these two. We love Iowa, but we're not in a real hurry to go back anytime soon. And you grew up in, Jersey?
In New York, but I've been here since sixth grade, so I'm a Floridian.
You're a Floridian. All right, brother.
Thank you so much, Mike.
Well, I look forward to continued conversation and you and I building some business model that works for both of us. And
thank you so much, Mike.
We'll take care of the business. All right.
It's an honor.
All right. Joseph Kovarik. We cover business on Saturdays. Kenny, get over here, man. I know she's a lot more intriguing to me, but then we got about 12 minutes for me to butcher you over the air. Let me take care of a little business here. Okay, yeah. Sounds good, man. We're going to talk. Grab the microphone. You don't have to come around here. We got the Treasure Island Party.
We do. We have the Treasure Island crew over here. They all rode their bikes down here.
Now, this is my wingman, Kenny G.
I don't play any instruments.
No, you play a lot, though. You're enjoying life. You're certainly embracing the don't let the old man in from
exactly
Clint Eastwood
right.
on a regular basis, and I applaud you for that. All right, so St. Paddy's Day, you and your bride got down here. She's the official videographer for the St. Pete Sports Connection.
She is.
Now, without getting yourself in trouble, what's the best city?
That's hard to know.
Oh, yeah, too. Yeah, I better clarify this. Just go ahead and tell me the best St. Paddy's Day experience and the city it was in that you experienced. I got a couple of them.
I don't really remember too many.
Well, I'm sure you
was
don't.
I drunk most of the time, and, you know, that Irish whiskey can get to you.
Well, I would tell you, besides the fact that he's hilarious, he was a very successful career man with ConAgra, right?
Yeah, something like that.
He doesn't like to admit that. So before I make him sound like he's just the Treasure Island drunk.
I am the Treasure Island drunk.
Anyway.
I'm the guy that walks on the street and, you know, you like, where do I live?
Yeah, you're wandering around. I can tell you where he lives. Well, I won't do that. But we've got a great neighborhood of people, and they all came down to have a little St. Paddy's Day party.
Yeah.
We need to get them all over here for a group shot.
Hey, come over here.
And maybe we could sing When Irish Eyes are Smiling.
Right. Come here. We need singers.
Anyway, what city was the greatest St. Paddy's Day?
I would have to say it was in Farmerville, Louisiana.
Are you serious?
Where did you pull that one out of your yin yang? I lived there.
I thought you were going to say Chicago,
no,
New York.
No.
Farmerville?
Louisiana.
Only you can pull that out.
800 people, but they have a parade that is unbelievable at night.
What, all 100 people?
Yeah. 101 when I was there. But
Farmerville, Louisiana. Farmerville,
look it up on the map.
It's on the map?
Yep. It's on, well, if you really, you know, get it really big, you find it. But
how big is this metropolis that I've never heard of?
It's probably, I'm telling you, probably 1,000 people.
It doesn't even qualify for the be in this conversation, but that's your greatest.
Well, it was at night, and they have parades, and they throw beads, and girls drop their stuff, you know?
They drop their stuff. That's why. Well, when it's a ton of 1,000, there isn't a lot of stuff you probably want to look at.
If we have some more beads here, we might be able to see something.
Yeah, well, it'd be a lot more entertaining here as far as the stuff to look at.
Are we singing?
I don't. Does anybody know the words to When Irish Eyes? All right. We got to get everybody.
The miracle of electronics.
In a few minutes, we're going to go ahead and congregate everybody right here. And the great state of Iowa and Michigan are going to provide for your listening pleasure or disgust.
No.
When Irish Eyes Are Smiling. Can you sing with the damn?
I can sing.
My son's a musician.
I can't sing in the shower.
Oh, there we go. Of course, my mom had already typed them up for me, and I left them. I thought, well, we're not going to do this. I was going to have an actual musical artist that you've seen down here, Banjo Steve. I don't know why he'd blow me off for money. Yeah, he's up in Shenanigans playing.
Oh, do I get paid to do this?
You don't get paid a damn dime. My greatest trial and tribulation and triumph with St. Patty's Day,
yeah.
Denver, 1984. They have a great, great St. Patty's Day parade.
Well, yeah, because weed's legal out there.
It wasn't then, my friend.
Oh, okay.
I asked my ex-wife to get married. So I got two beautiful sons out of the deal, but I hated St. Patty's Day for about 15, 20 years. I finally got over it. But that's a great
St. Patty Day, not your day.
And I want to go to Chicago. My daughter lives there, and they said.
Well, they turned the rivers green there.
I got to ask these people from Carroll. Have you ever been to Emmitsburg, Iowa for St. Patty's Day?
Not for St. Patty's Day.
There's a little town, and it's not farmland or farmhand or whatever, Louisiana. Emmitsburg, Iowa.
Farmerville, damn.
Farmerville. What the hell? I can't believe you pulled that out. But anyway. Emmitsburg, Iowa, and you know where it's at.
Yeah, I know where it's at.
Not too far from the lakes.
Yep.
Phenomenal St. Patty's.
Really?
People come from all over the country, actually, for their St. Patty's
Day
party. Yeah.
And we're here.
I'll be damned.
Yeah.
So we're going to sing.
Well, we're going to sing in a minute.
Oh.
This is my show, pal. I asked you to contribute something, and you pull Farmerland, Louisiana.
Farmerville, you got to get this right. Okay?
I know. I'm just playing with you. Hey. Think about this, the history of sports in with the Irish flavor. My Notre Dame Fighting Irish, you're Catholic. You got it like Notre Dame, even though you're Iowa State. And of course, the Boston Celtics.
Yep.
I am an owner of the Boston Celtics, too.
Are you?
Yeah. They went public. I probably only have a handful of listeners. They're all done now. Why did I listen to that guy? When he said he's having an Iowa party. Speaking of parties, like I mentioned, 3 o'clock behind here, Budweiser, and you know those little bar games where you can shoot the basketball. You know they have them arcades, or they're having that, and they're gonna keep track, and you can win some amazing prizes. So if you're not doing anything today, it's gorgeous down here as usual. Come on down to Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. And how much time do I have left? Well, I think what we'll do is we'll butcher the airwaves. Assemble your choir, ladies. And we'll sing When Irish Eyes
Are Smiling.
I got to ask you, Brandy, you said you were an artist, an actress. How's your singing skills?
I'm an alto.
You're an alto.
I'm an
she
alto.
She even knows what she is. You got to get over here on the other side.
There's my son.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, he's going to be on my show. All right. Now, someone in the middle is going to have to hold this mic, and we're going to have to sing nice and loud. When Irish Eyes Are Smiling. People that are going to hack it up, and you're going tenor alto. I don't even know what that is. Tenor alto. when Irish eyes are small.
German is German.
Oh, little. And you're very good at that. All right, we'll wait until he wins, and then when Irish eyes. I'm going to do the, what was his name? It was on Sunday night. Lauren?
Oh,
no. Oh, someone else, hold this mic over there.
A one.
A one and a two and a three.
When Irish eyes are smiling. I'm an alto too. Just like a morning spring. In the lilt of Irish laughter, you can hear the angels sing. Irish hearts are happy.
Oh, happy!
A world seems bright and gay.
Bright and gay.
When Irish eyes are smiling, sure they steal your heart away.
Bravo! Bravo! Oh my God, that was an alto. That was a butcher. That was a tenor.
Now you have no listeners.
Yeah, but it was kind of fun, and we got video, and the Treasure Island Party Group, we're going to go viral. If any of you have warrants for your arrest, you better let me know before I put your pictures up on the on social media. Any warrants or ex-wives looking for you, let me know about that. Well, you know what? I'm going to throw Brandy on for about three more minutes since she can do radio. And not embarrass me. I got her on, dear. So we have enough time for. I wanted to do this earlier. I want you to share, because we do On the Tee, and I had that show, and I'm going to have it back on here. Two Pros and a Hack, and I told you I'm the hack. Tell the story about playing. Was it a fundraiser golf tournament with your husband? You were having a practice run. You didn't really take care of the rules of the great game of golf.
Yes, I was.
This should be you, Kenny.
I was really the complete rookie golfer and learning. And so my husband got invited to a celebrity tournament in Reno, Nevada. And it was a scramble. So I was allowed to play. And we got there and we were doing a practice round the day before to learn the course, you know, like that's what we're supposed to do.
It's just classic.
So I'm following along, and we because I was learning to play, I had a really good drive, and I could putt really well, but my middle game really sucked. So, but I had new clubs, and so we were out, and what I was doing is in the fairway, because I couldn't hit worth a darn, I would tee up in the fairway because I had a good drive. And so...
Bravo!
My husband would just shake his head. But it was a practice round. Well, I knew I couldn't do it the next day, you know. So I'm... Because I hit the dirt, you know.
No, as my deceased stepdad, who was the character, would say, you hit the big ball before you hit the little ball when you hit the dirt.
There you go. So we turn around, and here are the people that are putting on the tournament, he and his wife. And he's got this little cowboy hat on, and he's, like, looking, and he's like, no, no, no. So he's calling my husband over privately, trying to let him know that, no, this will not happen tomorrow.
Oh, my God, that's hilarious. Well, thank you, dear, for contributing that story, because I like golf humor.
Yeah, we have a lot of humor on the golf course.
All right. Well, you have a great weekend. We'll be
Thanks.
Talking. And I'm going to get your son on, because I'm intimidated now. Holy moly, that kid is a stud. All right. Well, we've had a great time. Come on down to Ferg's today. 3 o'clock, if you're out and about, you might as well run down here. And it's March Madness. Try your hoop skills. Those smaller hoops you see in arcades and in bars, and it's free to play. And there's all kinds of prizes that Budweiser's providing to Ferg Sports Bar and Grill right down here on 13th and Central. We've had an absolute blast today. A lot of information. I'm going to talk to Brandy about this more often on the air, because to follow this struggle of all these people that you look up to, these heroes. And that short span of their careers certainly need to be recognized and taken care of post-career, because they brought us a lot of joy, and they brought a lot of wealthy guys, a lot of do-re-mi, as they say. So for Brandy Winans, Joseph Covert, the Treasure Island Party Posse. That's what I'm going to call them. The Party Posse. Mark Ferguson, Joe Berdrow on the controls. I'm Mike Rickard. Thanks for listening to the St. Pete Sports Connection and wish you and your families a great weekend. Be sure to check out Ferg's this weekend for all the March Madness games and tomorrow's as a Selection Sunday and spring training games. May God bless you, God bless America, and be sure to have a championship week.